From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
We welcome you to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. On today's program, Dr. Cairns continues a series of studies explaining the basic teachings of each of the books in the New Testament. Today, he brings the next portion of a message entitled, The Faith of God's Elect, a study of the Epistle to Titus. The Apostle Paul gave his close friend Titus the task of preaching to a church that was located in the midst of a vile society, a church which was being influenced by the wickedness around them, as well as by false teachers in their own ranks. Titus's assignment was to present the body of truth which defines the true gospel, the central themes of which are God, grace, godliness, and glory. It is this body of truth to which the church must adhere and preach in every age and to every nation. In the opening verse of the epistle, Paul refers to God's elect. As Dr. Cairns will emphasize, God's election inevitably and infallibly brings sinners to saving faith in Christ. The mark of election is that one believes in Christ. God does not call sinners to determine whether or not they are among the elect. He calls them to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Dr. Cairns will be with us shortly. Before he comes, we invite you to enjoy this brief devotional thought found in Faith's Checkbook, a collection from the writings of the great 19th century English preacher C.H. Spurgeon. Our devotional for today is entitled, Invitation to Pray. The text is Jeremiah 33 and verse 3. Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. God encourages us to pray. They tell us that prayer is a pious exercise which has no influence except upon the mind engaged in it. We know better. Our experience gives the lie 1,000 times over to this infidel assertion. Here Jehovah, the living God, distinctly promises to answer the prayer of his servant. Let us call upon him again, and admit no doubt upon the question of his hearing us and answering us. He that made the ear, shall he not hear? He that gave parents a love to their children, will he not listen to the cries of his own sons and daughters? God will answer his pleading people in their anguish. He has wonders in store for them. What they have never seen, heard of, or dreamed of, he will do for them. He will invent new blessings if needful. He will ransack sea and land to feed them. He will send every angel out of heaven to succor them if their distress requires it. He will astound us with his grace and make us feel that it was never before done in this fashion. All he asks of us is that we will call upon him. He cannot ask less of us. Let us cheerfully render him our prayers at once.
I'm
In order to understand the necessity of salvation, one must first realize the demands of God's law as given to Moses on Mount Sinai in summary form, what we know as the Ten Commandments. When we look at these requirements honestly, we must admit that we cannot keep them. Indeed, if this had been God's final word to mankind, we would all be hopelessly lost. But God spoke again at Calvary, where His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, died in the place of helpless sinners. This was both the demonstration of the ultimate penalty for breaking God's law, death, as well as the glorious revelation of God's grace to those who deserved nothing but His wrath. Understanding the relationship of law and grace is essential to the Christian life. A number of years ago, Dr. Alan Cairns preached an extensive series of messages in which he carefully expounded the Bible's teaching on this vital subject of law and grace. Dr. Cairns then edited and published those sermons in a volume called Chariots of God. Recently, Let the Bible Speak was able to obtain a limited number of copies of that book, and we're now pleased to make them available to our listening audience. The price for a copy of Chariots of God is $10, which includes shipping. To obtain a copy, simply send your check for $10, made out to Let the Bible Speak, to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. We expect these copies to sell out quickly, so don't delay. Write Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615, for your copy of Chariots of God by Alan Cairns.
Thank you. How can a man be just? How can I be saved? And how can I be sure I'm saved? This little epistle of Titus gives the answer. And it points obviously to the work of Christ. In chapter 2, it speaks of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, verse 14, that he might redeem us unto himself from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people. That's a people of his personal possession, zealous of good works. In the next chapter, chapter 4, after that the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness that we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed in us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by his grace. How can a man be just with God? By his grace. By his grace, not by works of righteousness, but by his grace, saved by mercy, brought to regeneration and renewal by the Holy Ghost, all through the mighty purifying and redeeming power of the sacrificial death of the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace that is greater than all our sin. You know, when you stop to think of it, it is good news when God tells a man he's a sinner. That's good news. Not good that he's a sinner, but it's good news because now we know what's wrong and there's an answer for sin. Some of you have had this experience in the medical realm. There's something wrong. You go to one doctor and another doctor and another doctor. They haven't a clue in the world what's wrong. They say there's something wrong, but they're all at sea. And until they know what they're dealing with, there's no answer to it. They may try to palliate it in some way. They may try to cover pain by painkillers, but they're not getting to the bottom of it because they can't diagnose it. When they come and tell you, now we know what's wrong, if that which is wrong is something for which there is an absolutely certain remedy, then it's good news. Well, sin, deadly as it is, can be dealt with. There's grace. There's grace. The God of heaven is the God of grace. And he saves the ungodly. He regenerates them. He renews them by the Holy Spirit. He justifies them, pardoning all their sin, establishing them as his righteous people with Christ's righteousness put to their account. He covers them under the blood. He redeems them from all their iniquity. He purifies their lives. Man, that's the gospel. That's grace. Filthy sinners, purified. People who couldn't pass up an opportunity to take drugs or drink, purified. People who were as immoral, purified. Debauched and depraved with their own pride and self-importance, humbled and purified. That's the grace of God. It's good news. God, you see, the gospel of God is the only gospel of power. Following on from grace that saves, there's godliness. Because God's truth received in the heart, as we have just read in verse 1, produces godliness. According to chapter 2, verse 12, it teaches us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. The blood purchased us to be a pure people. And so when we believe the gospel, it produces good works. It produces behavior that becometh godliness, according to chapter 2 and verse 3. Any faith, now let me be absolutely clear about this, any faith or claimed faith that does not have the fruit of godliness is not genuine faith. It is a dead faith, and it is a deadly faith. Rather than saving, it will damn. God, grace, godliness. That's the progression. And of course it ends in glory. We have read in verse 2 of the hope of eternal life. This gospel throbs with hope. There's a beautiful statement in chapter 2:13 that we're looking for that blessed hope. What is the blessed hope? It is the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. You see, Christians are assured of eternal glory. These are wonderful descriptions then of the gospel right at the very beginning. Fundamental. Let me give you a little outline that you may want to study a little more carefully. There are three descriptions of the gospel in these opening two verses of Titus. There's the faith of God's elect. That's what Christians believe for salvation. There's the truth according to godliness. That's the guiding light of the Christian life. And then there's the hope of eternal life. And that's the confidence with which Christians believing the gospel face life and death and eternity. Here then are what we will call the essential truths of the gospel. God, grace, godliness, glory. All in Jesus Christ. Now let me finish with the second point. And that's the elect's trust in the gospel. Paul says, I'm an apostle according to or in the interest of the faith of God's elect. I'm an apostle to bring God's elect to faith. Do you notice this? That all God's elect become believers infallibly. There is no salvation merely by election. That may sound strange coming from me, a Calvinist. But it's not a bit strange. There is no salvation for any one of us apart from the personal faith that God gives us in Jesus Christ. This Bible knows nothing of an election that doesn't bring men to faith in Christ. Now let me turn that around. There are so many people come to the Bible and they read this word elect and election and predestination and all the rest of it. I've met these people. They're the hardest people in the world to deal with. Remember in my church in Ballymoney, a little village outside the town of Ballymoney, and there was a woman there. I visited with her and others visited with her. She was in church. Not our church, but a Reformed Presbyterian church, every Sabbath day. She learned the Bible, she learned the catechism, but she could not close with Christ. Why? Because she said, I do not know if I am God's elect. And until I know that I'm God's elect, I cannot believe, because only the elect have the right to believe. And I tell you, that is how the devil perverts the truth. I'm never called to find out the mystery of God's election. What I am told is that the elect believe, and all believers are God's elect. That's the mark of God's elect. They believe. It's not the mark of anybody else, but God's elect. In His decree of election, God purposed to save His chosen people by bringing them to faith in Jesus Christ. That's what Paul taught the Thessalonians. Look at 2 Thessalonians 2 verse 13. We are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through, the word is in or by, sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. Now watch that carefully, because that establishes a vital truth. Believers are not elect because they believe. They believe because they're elect. The faith of God's elect. In other words, this is a description of a people chosen, and as a result of that, they believe. Watch carefully in 2 Thessalonians 2:13 again. We're chosen to salvation. It's the salvation that's in and through belief of the truth. It's not the election. Listen, God did not look at you and say, "Ah, that's a good man. He'll believe. I'll choose him." No, God looked and he said, "That's a vile, bad man. That's a sinner who deserves hell. And if I were to wait for anything good in him, I would never choose him. But I choose him in sovereign grace, the good pleasure of divine love." You see, faith is the fruit, not the root, of God's electing grace. We're elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, says Peter, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. You see, all believers are God's elect. Question is not tonight for you to find out, am I elect? That's not the question that a sinner has to deal with at all. The question is, do I believe the gospel of Jesus Christ? Do I believe? Because if I believe, that's the mark of God's elect. All the elect believe, and all believers are elect.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.